Well, good morning, Crossings. How are we doing this morning? Fantastic. Let's do that one more time. How are we doing this morning? All right, there we go. Man, it's good to be with you. My name's Andy, one of the pastors here on staff. And whether you were with us here in the room or online or one of our locations, man, it's good to be with you to open God's word. Speaking of God's word, if you have your Bibles, please open to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. We've been in it all month. And we're gonna close out this one verse that we have been preaching on today, Luke 2:10. As you get there, I thought, you know, during Christmas season, we watch a lot of movies at our house. And as I was preparing this sermon, there was one particular line in one particular movie that kept popping into my head. And many of you have probably seen it. I'd neither endorse it nor anything else, but there's this scene where this family, the whole extended family, is sitting at the dinner table, Christmas Eve. And you hear the forks and the knife and all the things, and all of a sudden, Clark Griswold proclaims good news. He tells the kids at the table, "Hey kids, I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sleigh flying in from New York." And the camera pans to all the children at the table, and their eyes get big and their smiles get wide. And then all of a sudden, to break up this declaration of good news, a grown man, Cousin Eddie, says these famous words. "You serious, Clark?" And I think about what's going through his head. That this news was so good, right? And who doesn't need good news today? I think we're all looking, longing for good news. And so, as we think about this passage, as I was preparing this sermon, what kept coming to my mind, and I hope what comes to your mind as we go through this, is, are you serious, God? Are you serious? Is it that good? Are you that good? Well, Luke 2:10, our passage and our verse for this Advent series says this: "The angel said, 'Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" And so this morning, we're going to look at that last phrase, "for all the people." And to do that, we're going to look at a proclamation of the good news. We're going to look at an invitation to the good news, the participation in the good news, and the culmination of the good news. If you have not been with us this month or you've missed a week, let me bring you up to speed really quickly. "Do not be afraid, for behold" means pay attention. God is doing something. "I bring you good news," and that good news is that God's kingdom has come near to make peace between humanity and God, that he has sent away. "Of great joy" last week, that the result of this good news is not duty, it is joy. That is the result of the good news of great joy that is for all the people. You see, the Jewish people of this day in Luke chapter 2 have been waiting for 400 years for something. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's 400 years of silence from God. There is no prophet. There is no angel. There's just silence. But then, stuff starts happening. Like never before, things start happening. The angel Gabriel speaks to Zechariah and Mary in Luke chapter 1. And the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1. A star rises and wise men take notice in Matthew chapter 2. And then here in Luke chapter 2, some shepherds in the fields near Bethlehem get the shock of their lives. So let's follow Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the proclamation of the good news in our first point this morning, that there is a Savior born for all the people. And this term, good news, this is the same Greek word as the word gospel. All right, good news and gospel, same word. Now you and I, if you've grown up in church at all, or you've been around church, whatever, you might hear the words good news and gospel and think religion. All right, but to the original hearers of this word, this word has roots in an ancient world of empires and battles. And when they would have heard good news, they would have heard this message after a great victory in battle. That's what the good news would have been. It would have been chiseled into stone and statues for everyone to know what has just happened, and this has changed everything. And so the angel's proclamation of good news meant that something world-changing had just happened. Nothing would ever be the same. Now, my guess is with this many people, we've probably had multiple seasons or moments in our lives where a message was given to us that changed your world forever. One of the more fun moments and memorable moments in my life was when we found out we were pregnant with number 5. When I say we, I mean my wife, okay? So, gender reveal day happened. We had 3 boys and 1 girl, and everyone was waiting and waiting to find out who's number 5 gonna be. Now, 75% of the family wanted another boy. My lone daughter, 25% of my children wanted another girl. And at that moment when we revealed the good news of great joy, it was only good news of great joy for 75% of the family. There was 25% that was greatly disappointed. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. But here's the thing. The good news of the gospel of Jesus hits 100% of people. It is good news of great joy for everyone. And when Jesus began his ministry 30 years after he was born, he came declaring and proclaiming as well, declaring that the good news of God, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Jesus said, turn and believe the good news. You find that in Mark chapter 1. The gospel of Jesus, the proclamation of Jesus, is that God's kingdom, God's perfect plan and perfect will was breaking into a broken world. A world that is infected with sin. And he did it through God's perfect son. You see, the promise of the good news of the gospel of Jesus is a promise of salvation, of forgiveness, true freedom, peace, and eternal life. And all of that had now come near and made available to all in Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God's kingdom is simply where God's will is done, is for all people, evidenced by the proclamation itself, who the proclamation was delivered to and through. You see, this is the most unexpected announcement you could possibly organize. No one would ever think this is the way you would proclaim history changing, humanity changing good news. There was no global marketing campaign. There was no interview on the world's most popular podcast. There was no viral video. It was not announced in a palace or with a parade. Are you serious, God? You're gonna give the greatest news of all time to shepherds in the middle of a field? Yes, because it is good news of great joy for all people. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 says, when the angels had left them, the shepherds, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, before we get into this, I want to take a quick detour for a moment. Now, Joseph has had a dream. An angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. Gabriel, the archangel, has spoken to Mary. Can you imagine the conversation in their household? What happened in your dream last night, sweetheart? Honey, what did you just say happened to you? Who said what? Like, it had to, just even to themselves, had to sound crazy. So what comfort? Can you imagine the confirmation and relief of the shepherds coming to Mary and Joseph, and they're basically saying, you're not crazy. The angel came to us too. The good news can sound crazy, but God is all about confirming and giving us rest for our souls, that as a Christian, the Christian life may feel crazy at times. But the good news of great joy for all people is real. And God confirms it in our lives through his word, through his spirit, through his people, over and over and over. And at the end of Luke chapter 2, God confirms it for Mary and Joseph again. Just in case they were doubting, he confirms it again through Simeon, who Jesus had told Simeon, you will not die, Simeon, until you see the chosen one, the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit tells Simeon, go to the temple courts. And Simeon arrives. This is all right there in Luke chapter 2. Simeon arrives at the temple courts at just the right time where Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus. And the prophetic message of Simeon is fulfilled. And this is what Simeon prays. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. You said I wouldn't die until I saw the Messiah. I have seen the Messiah. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that all have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people in Israel. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, all people. It wasn't just a Messiah for the Jewish people. God sent a Savior for the whole world. Are you serious, God? Are you serious? Could it be this good that you and I here in 2025 are included in this proclamation of good news? Yes, it is. So let's get back on the road. Luke 2, 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The good news of great joy for all the people isn't just a proclamation, but it is also an invitation to the good news. An invitation to the good news. You see, the shepherds received the proclamation not just as information, but as an invitation. It echoes, right? Like they said, let's go and see. If what God just told us is true, let's go. It echoes what Jesus told Philip. When Jesus told Philip, come and see. And Jesus doubles down over and over and over in the Gospels on this proclamation, specifically in John 3, 16 and 17. Jesus makes a proclamation, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Are you serious, God? You came to save the world, not condemn it? Good news of great joy. In our humanness, there's a tendency to think that if God really knew us, God would not love us. But the good news is that God fully knows you and I, and he completely loves you and I. There is no one too far off or too far away or too far gone that the good news of the gospel is not for and cannot reach. It is for all the people, those who are near and those who are far off, those who are sure and those who are doubt. The gospel is for all the people. It's for the poor and for the rich. It's for the powerless and the powerful. It's for the Republicans and the Democrats. It's for the simple and the wise. It is for the old and it is for the young. It is good news for the shepherds and it is good news for the kings. Are you serious, God? It is good news of great joy for all the people. If it isn't the good news of great joy for all people, then it is not the good news that Jesus preached. Because God loved the world and Jesus came to save the world. But how can this be good news for all? How are you and I and everyone included in this good news? Here's the reality, is we all sense and see that something is deeply wrong with the world, that something is missing, and that the world is not as it ought to be. Just read the news. Open your phone right now. No, just kidding. We're talking about good news, right? Because when you open your phone, what we see? We just see bad news of great anxiety. That's what we see. We see bad news of great fear. We see bad news of great pain. But that's not the gospel. God has come to make all things new. Because the reality is we have all fallen short of the glory of God. For all have fallen short, says Paul in Romans chapter 3. But through faith in Jesus Christ, all who believe will be saved. This is the good news. This is actually what our souls long for. Just like we get stomach pains when we're hungry, our body is telling us we need to eat. We need something from outside of us to fill us so that we can now live the way we were designed to live. Spiritually speaking, we are no different. Our souls are hungry. And we try and fill it with temporary things, money and power and influence and comfort and pleasure. That is not what you were made for. You and I were made for a relationship with Jesus. That is what is that hunger that we have. That hunger that drives every day that we are trying to fill is actually something that is filled by Jesus Christ. He has come to make all things new and he has come to make us whole. You see, Jesus is the home of our souls, is the home that we are longing for because everyone needs a Savior. And in God's goodness and loving kindness, he has sent a Savior for everyone. Tim Keller says it this way. He's a pastor and author. Christianity is the most inclusive religion in the world. All can come. But also the most exclusive religion in the world, only through Christ. This invitation is to all people through Christ, and it begins now. It is not a present that you have to wait to open someday. When I was a child, I thought my faith is a gift I open the day I die and go to heaven. No. Jesus came that you may have life and life to the full right now. This invitation to believe in Jesus is not a passive invitation. Belief is a right now, tomorrow, and everyday participation kind of belief. You hear this participatory heart in the passage. You feel it. There is no, oh man, I gotta share the good news coming from the shepherds. Nope. Listen, the angel leaves, verse 15. They say, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off. They hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. You see, the proclamation leads to an invitation, which means there's a participation. There is participation in the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus being a follower of Christ is not a spectator sport. It is not We don't sit on the couch. Jesus did not come just so we'd gather for 1 hour a week, sing some songs, hear somebody speak, and then go off and run our own lives. No, he came to take over. He came to say, watch me, follow me, and you will find life. He invites us, and then he fills us with his Holy Spirit to then send us as now the new messengers. You know, I enjoy some college football. Not so much Friday night, but you know. But one thing about college football that's interesting is these coaches are always recruiting new players to their team. They're always trying to say, hey, why don't you join my team? But you know what? I guarantee never happens, ever in the history of football, is a coach goes to talk to a player and says, hey, I would love for you to be on my team so that you can sit on the bench for 4 years. But I think the enemy slowly has drifted us into this mentality as a Christian. As a follower of Jesus, your role is to sit on the bench and watch other people do it. That is not what Jesus came to say and do. Did you notice that we are given as Christians the same instructions the angel was given? God sent the angel to tell the shepherds. God sent the angel to tell Mary. God sent the angel to tell Zechariah. And likewise, Jesus sends you and me to participate in the proclaiming of the good news. This is what we are called to do. Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority has been given to him on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations because the good news is for all people. Following Christ is not a spectator sport. Jesus doubles down in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus tells his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, hometown, in all of Judea, the region, and Samaria, to your enemies and to the ends of the earth. This is where we are to make disciples, right here. In our homes, in our workplaces, in our city, and then it moves from there. The shepherds participated after the angel spoke. They heard the proclamation of the good news. They received the invitation of the good news, and then they participated by sharing the good news and what they had heard. It's time to get off the bench. Jesus calls us. He calls you. He calls me. He calls us as a church to participate in the good news of great joy that is for all the people in your family, all the people in your workplace, all the people in your neighborhood, all the people that you see today when you go shopping. They're all supposed to receive the good news. You and I are God's plan A for getting out the good news to the world. Are you serious, God? Can you believe that? There's got to be a better plan. No. You know why it's not a better plan? He said, I have all authority and I give you the power, so go. Quit worrying about your ability. Jesus says all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And he has given you his Holy Spirit, the power, so go. Make disciples of all nations. Be my witnesses. And if this doesn't force us to ask ourselves some questions, as I prepared this, I thought, God, are you serious? And then I paused like, Andy, are you serious? Are you seriously going to follow Jesus? Crossings, are you going to follow Jesus? Are you serious about the good news of great joy that is for all the people? Let's finish up. It began with a proclamation of good news to the shepherds of great joy. And this good news of great joy ends with a culmination of the good news, and we see great joy. So my last point is that there's a culmination of the good news. For too long, I viewed my faith, one, as only a personal thing, and two, as a temporary, like, oh, you know what? It's just to get me through today. It's going to help me this week. I use it as a practical tool, not the foundation of my life and the calling upon my life. I actually thought that my faith was just a gift that I'd unwrapped the day I died and went to heaven. And heaven became my hope. Still is. But God is doing more than we think. God is doing more than you think. His plans and purposes for you and for me and for this church are far greater than we could ever ask or imagine. There is a culmination of this good news that will blow your mind, and you will say, "Are you serious, God? Are you serious?" Because what God is doing throughout the whole Bible, through all, for all time, is leading to something. And it is good news where we see great joy, and it's in the book of Revelation. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and it shows how the story ends. John gets a vision of how it all culminates in the end. Revelation 7, John writes this: "After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language," all people, "which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's where we will be one day. We will be standing, if you are a follower of Christ, you will be standing in that multitude, and you will be saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And did you catch this? That the proclamation began with shepherds who were shepherding sheep, the very lambs that would be sacrificed in Jerusalem for the sins of many. And the culmination of our faith is that we will all be worshiping the Lamb of God, Jesus. This is incredible. It's just incredible. The destination of the proclamation is Jesus, was Jesus, and will always be Jesus. And then we see the culmination of the angel's proclamation again in Revelation 21, where the bad news of great anxiety comes to an end. The bad news of great fear and pain come to an end. In Revelation 21, John writes, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, 'Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, pain will be no more.'" Because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Are you serious, God? He's making all things new. All the pain, all the fear, all the sorrow and the grief will be no more. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist writes, "In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy." Anything that we experience on this earth is a tamped down joy. In the presence of the Lord is the full measure of the joy of God. Amen, let's go. Crossings, this is absolutely the good news of great joy for all people. And as we leave today, I wanna give you an easy step. An easy step to participate in the good news of great joy. That the proclamation of our Savior has come and will one day make all things new. It is for all the people. So here's my invitation for you to participate. In a few short days, we are gonna come back and we are gonna celebrate the birth of our Savior, who one day will return and make all things new. Who will you invite? This is a proclamation that has been given to you. Are you willing to put an invite in your neighbor's mailbox or send that text message to whoever God brings to your mind? That when we come back together in a few days to celebrate our Christmas Eve services, the good news of great joy, there will be people here that have never heard the good news of great joy. Who will you invite? So as I close, I'll invite our prayer team up down front. In every room, we would love to pray with you and for you. If this is new news to you, we would love to talk to you and explain more about the good news of great joy that is for you. Let me pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the good news of great joy. God, would you embolden us as people of faith? Would you embolden us to go out and proclaim, to invite and participate in the good news of great joy? God, would you get us off the bench? Would you give us opportunities to get into the game that we might be a voice of hope to this city, introducing them and showing them the goodness and loving kindness of God through his son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Crossings, have a great week of worship. Yeah.